Bring a Trailer podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Bring a Trailer podcast. Alex here, joined once again by Randy. Randy, how are you, buddy?
Hey, I'm good. Excited to be back. There's so much going on.
There's a lot of cars on our website, dude, and we've been super busy, and we have some kind of exciting releases to talk about, exciting new news in the BAT world. But I thought we'd dive in with talking about this weekend. We had a little kind of a BAT event, a little bit of a change in format. Tell everybody what you were up to this weekend.
Super cool event. We had a BAT, what we were calling a meetup, and it ended up, being kind of a cars and coffee type thing. It was in San Diego, Encinitas, North County, San Diego, which is an area where we have never done an event before. We've done LA, we've done Arizona, we've kind of circled, and there's a super vibrant car crowd down there. And the month of March, right? You're kind of looking for nice weather areas. So we said, let's
super jealous. Fightertown USA.
On the beach and go to Fightertown USA, which we drove past. But I'll tell you about that part too. But yeah, anyhow, it was very cool. Just sent notes out to the BAT community of people who are buyers and sellers and registered in that area. And I don't know what the final tally of cars were that descended on. 4 Till 4 is a cool coffee shop there where we highly recommend you check it out. And they have some cool vintage cars. And we've partnered with them in Arizona before. And
they have cars on display at the coffee shop?
They've got his Baja Bug, the owner, went and ran either Nora or Baja in a Beetle. And he's a 356 guy. So obviously, sort of air-cooled stuff he's into. He carries starting fluid with him at all times, probably.
Very vital.
Totally. Yeah. And so anyway, they're very cool. And we said, hey, can we do an event there? And they were all for it. So we oftentimes do big sort of mega events at
contrast this to an alumni gathering, which is, this is like a very different flavor.
Yeah. We've in the past, we've done a couple smaller ones. You were there for the old BAT barbecue days, right? Yeah. And when we'd invite everyone we'd ever met, like 20 people would show up, you know, that was kind of how it used to work. Now alumni gatherings are hundreds and hundreds of people in RSVPs and tickets and all sorts of planning, but we just wanted to do a fun, lightweight one. And we want to do more of these, and a bunch of cool people came out and were like, hey, please come back and do this again. This is like, gave me something to look forward to, gave me something, you know, get the car running to make sure I could bring the Bronco out or the Scout or the, you know, Porsche or Volkswagen. Or we had a stretched Fintail show up, like a limousine Fintail, which I sort of gravitated towards.
I bet you did.
Old Mercedes, that was cool. Anyway, great variety.
But cash, more casual vibe, basically.
Super cash. We just buy coffee for everybody and welcome them and talk to them about BAT and what they're doing and their car that they decided to bring, which some were alumni cars, some were not. But there were a lot of kids.
No invites, right? So just we put a post up and people show.
An invite, no RSVPs. Just an invite. And the funny part, you know, the guys at the coffee shop were like, are 50 people going to show up? Are like 500 people going to show up? And we just kind of shrugged a little bit and said, you know, probably a couple hundred.
Yep.
And they had sort of cool dirt parking all along the railroad tracks, which are right across the street there on all those beach towns. And so long row of 45 angle parked cars, like everything from a crazy, you know, Hummer that's like Desert Storm spec Fiat 124 E28 M5 to really cool 993 was there with speed lines on it. And everything in between, you know, so great variety of cars, very BAT.
But you didn't stage them or anything. It was just like pull up and park.
No,
right?
Yeah. I mean, the 10 spots right by the coffee shop, we had to like make sure it wasn't all jammed up so that people could stand around. But then it was sort of a free for all for the others and, you know, get as close as you can. If you show up early, you get a good spot. If you show up later, you get to hoof it a little bit.
Yep.
But it's like perfect weather in San Diego. And I was just really impressed with the caliber of cars and the people saying, oh yeah, I love BAT. I've been waiting for you guys to come here, you know? And so they were like chomping at the bit. And the funniest thing, you know, we kind of tour around the country and do these events. Obviously we do them at Laguna Seca, and we just got back from Watkins Glen doing one last fall. And we have this calendar of these events, but these guys, we were in San Diego and they're like, so next month, like, are you going to be back in San Diego? Like,
every month they want you to be
there. How many times this year are you going to be in our town? And I was like, well, we're working on it. We'll see what we can do. We have a couple of employees down there and we have a number of employees in Southern California, and I hope to get back there soon. We're doing one in Arizona.
Very excited about that.
Alumni gathering. That'll be in Scottsdale next month. So we are doing something next month. We're not returning to the same parking lot next month, but we're going to spread it around. But honestly, it was such a light lift. We've kind of gotten into this sort of calendar and path of doing these really big events because they're super fun. When you get 300 BAT cars, it's like, it's bananas.
Totally. But, and geared towards people who've bought. And this is much more open arms, which we like too.
But, you know, the light lift was refreshing. You know, like I was on an airplane back home and ate dinner with my family in NorCal that afternoon, you know, and the other ones require like 3 hours of breakdown, four hours of breakdown and moving cars around and stuff. So
no tan or anything on this
was,
one?
No, this was, you know, some giveaways and some stuff for folks. But, you know, we didn't come with, we may do more. We may refine it or evolve it, but being able to do different types of events is a cool skill to have and an ability to reach out to folks. And people are just looking for a way to, you know, drive these cars and have some fun. And I got to see the cars and meet some people I never would have met. And there was American stuff, man. There was like a 57 Bel Air that pulled in that was super nice. Some early vets, a really good Mustang Fastback was there. And then stuff, there was 2002 Turbo. Man. There was a silver R5 Turbo first series car with the wacky interior.
Yeah, I love those.
So on the silver ones, the lettering's blue and the wheels are sometimes blue, which is super crazy. I like those, as you know. And then, yeah, I mean, it was like all over the map. So super fun.
Typical BAT event, eclectic mix. And it sounds like there was some great stuff. And the people are always great at those things. Zach said Corvette Mike was down there, so I presume he drove one of the Corvettes.
Corvette brought a C1. What was it? A double headlight C1. So he was cruising in. Got to speak with him and some other folks that are well entrenched in the BAT community, and which it's just so fun. I don't think that like scrolling auctions on your screen is enough for engagement. So totally. Being able to actually high five people and see cars and hear what they sound like and see how good the paint is on this and that car or whatever. I mean, that's the in-person stuff that's really fun. Not to mention like seeing a three generations family that's there, right? And like the dad, get a load of this story. These guys are so cool. I was commenting with them on the listing where we announced these, but the dad's from North Carolina has sold a Crosley pickup truck on BAT.
Oh, man.
Hilarious.
That's Charles Porter spec. My dad loves a Crosley.
Totally. But his son is in San Diego and has a Bronco off BAT. And then that guy has a kid. So it's three generations. The dad flies out from North Carolina because our event's going on and the three of them pile in the Bronco and come and they're all like BAT fans and cool truck that they show up in and, you know, shaking the little kid's hand, talking to him about cars. And the most senior of them wants to talk all about the Crosley. We're scrolling through the app, the BAT app, looking at like Crosley pickup trucks and what happened. He sold it as a project, I think. And then it later came back to BAT post-restoration, was sold again. And I mean, it's just the classic story.
I love that stuff though, dude. Yeah. That's what it's all about. And I'm super jealous of this all being in San Diego too. I love it down there so much. Mm-hmm. San Diego is the best. Mm-hmm. You drove past Miramar?
So we went into Miramar because we have a seller on BAT that is a Ferrari Lambo Maserati restorers that are, it turns out, adjacent to Miramar, like full on fighter town.
USA, oh, wow.
Like right adjacent to, there's like an office park or whatever it is. Bobilef, I think, is the name of the shop.
Oh, yeah. I know that.
Pretty
name.
Well
yeah.
known shop. They've listed
four
or five cars. They put some heavy cars, a Periscopio, I think, on BAT.
Yes, that's right.
And they said they got some other stuff coming, which was exciting. And he's like, oh, you should come by our shop. So we went out there and cruised by the shop, but no joke, I was like looking on the nav. I was like, Chris, we're going past Miramar. And he's like, no way. I was like, do we need to put the Kenny Loggins on the radio?
I hope you were aware of the hard deck.
Yeah, totally. And I was like, I wish I had a, you know, Hurricane to be riding with no helmet and some Ray-Bans. But anyway, all that was totally going on. But you're a plane geek and we won't go too deep into it, but there were Osprey.
Oh yeah.
Like with their in helicopter mode. Mm-hmm. Like cruising around, and those things are like menacing.
They're scary.
They're
looking.
Menacing.
Oh yes,
it looks like there's going to be problems when those are. It was just circling around the base
totally.
At however many thousand feet, not many cruising around, and I was like, kind of. It just gave it a military
God, totally.
Sort of feel. It was like active.
Was there a good plane on a stick out in front?
Active air space. I don't know what else. I think that's all that was flying. But we drove past some like old, like mothballed old fighters and stuff. Anyway, mm-hmm. It's
Gate Guardian, they call those ones that are out in front that are on a stick, you know, where they put the plane out in front. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, it was fun. San Diego is a good time, obviously, and BAT, get in touch with the community. We announce those. We blast emails, obviously.
Yeah, let me give a plug for Arizona, which I'm really excited for.
But I was
going to
say, before you're going with your daughter, that's cool.
Yeah.
But before that, like the BAT calendar obviously shows where all this stuff is going on. So sometimes people are like, hey, when's the next one? Or how do I know? Or whatever. We post that in the stream on BAT and it also is permanent.
Right. April 13th, April 13 for event in Scottsdale at 911R's facility, one of our kind of power sellers.
Somebody looks nice. Love. Oh, have you seen the promo photos for that?
I'm excited.
I was like, wow,
I'm excited.
Looks like nicer than my garage. That's for sure.
It's another another great place to go too. I mean, I freaking love Scottsdale. Freaking love San Diego. So that is awesome. Did you do anything else while you're down there, Randy? Anything else notable or fun? Or it sounds like it was a tactical strike for you.
Yeah, we were in LA and then we kind of caravanned down south from there and went to a couple shops and talked about some things. May or may not have recorded a podcast with Spike and his
crew. Oh, that's right. That was coming up. Okay, yeah.
We'll plug that. That was a lot of fun. Those guys were
a little Zuckerman action.
He called and we talked, but he wasn't there for the recording, but we're in his garage. So got to see, he has an E28 M5, a Euro E28 M5, which is
a color in a color or black?
I think it's anthracite or something, okay. But it's not black.
Oh, okay,
which
cool.
Which is cool. But anyway, he's a good dude. And those guys have fun cars and have recently sold charity auctions and different stuff.
The watches. We had fun with that.
We were talking all about that. It was fun.
Super cool, dude. I thought we could talk about cars on the site unless you have any other interesting things you want to plug or anything coming up or any other interesting car stuff you've done recently. Unfortunately, I have not done very much interesting stuff recently with cars.
I've been watching the website a whole bunch. I've been trying to keep my cars rolling, you know, so a couple of them I kind of put away for the winter a little bit, you know, just here at the BAT offices mostly. And so getting everything back out and they just need to be driven. And
I know.
Running back.
I've got a dead car down there right now, man.
You got a dead car in the office. I probably have several, but we both drove interesting things today. I mean, the weather's finally good. And I was stoked to see you drive the
car. Oh, I was really stoked to pull up next to the Cortina, dude. Yeah. That was very exciting. When was the last time you drove that thing?
It was what? I mean, I drove it in January a little bit when we had a little bit of sunshine, and then it was in the fall. But it's been turnkey and ready ever since I got tires on it and did some engine work in the fall. And it's great. I've been running it around near home and then back into the office today.
Humming it up on the freeway.
40
how does it? How does it do? Is it screaming its guts out?
It's screaming like crazy, but it rips. It wants to go and it'll keep up with traffic and do stop and go and do everything. Now that I've got the
top gear is a 4-speed, right?
It's just a 4.
Is top gear in that a 1-to-1?
It
doesn't have an overdrive.
It may be even less. I don't know. Okay. I mean, they don't have that much power. So I don't know what they did in the diffs on those, but it's, I mean,
it's like 4,000 RPM at 70 miles an hour.
So the speedo cable in that thing is like one of those that it's whippy, right?
Dancing speedo.
The speedo needle is like all over the place, you know, give or take 15 miles an hour. Yeah. But I was like, I got it to like 4,800 in top gear. And it's a low geared car, so it's not like I'm flying, but I didn't do it. I should have been pulling out an app and being like, how fast am I actually going at 4,800 in top gear? And it's probably going 82
or 84,
but it's not a 130 mile an hour car.
That's like Mach 2 with your hair on fire,
totally,
buddy.
It is a little bit in that car it is. So anyway, such a neat car. I've always loved them. And driving it back and forth to work is a gift.
Totally. What a privilege. And it was amazing pulling up next to it. It's a really nice one, dude. I've seen it in the office, but I don't know if I've ever even seen it under the sunlight.
You see my plate? I did a YOM black plate on it.
No, I didn't notice that. Or maybe I did and I just didn't know that it had always had, a California white plate on it.
That's a new development.
Oh, that's a bummer. That's a bummer.
What? Because it's not real?
No. I'm saying it's a bummer to have a white plate.
That had to go. So a 9 white plate, which is like obviously bought 3 seconds ago or whatever. it was an 8 because I bought it a couple years ago. So anyway, got to lose that. But it's been working out. It's a fun car.
Yeah, it's such a sick car. I've always liked them. You can do YOM for 70s cars now. They took it up to like 80 or whatever. So on my 2-year delayed list is to get blue plates for that green Porsche, which really should have them. The white plates look terrible on that too. Awesome, dude. Well, yeah, the weather is fantastic. It's delightful to get out. It's ready. Yeah, window down today. It was so great. Hair whipping in the wind. So what have you been watching on the site? You said you've been keeping your eyes on the site. I mean, we've been damn close to record volume here. We were flirting with 900.
So 2 weeks
live.
Ago was highest except for 1 week last October, right? I mean, it's so totally crazy.
Totally.
Submissions have super ramped up and the team is working really hard to get good stuff onto the site. And more important than the volume is the fact that the interesting variety and quality has been just like pegging it all over the place. I have so many alerts set up, but I don't know.
Was the cruiser that you were talking about? You said some kind of a cruiser with a crazy chassis on it.
Actually a Grand Wagoneer.
It was a Grand Wagoneer.
And there's been a few of those going through. And I've been, you know, I'm a cruiser guy, but I have sort of a wandering eye on those. I'm kind of like, that would be interesting. Roadster Shop has always done sort of hot rod chassis and different sorts of stuff, but they're doing a crate chassis now for that vehicle among, you can do a Land Cruiser. They'll do all these different specs.
Oh, wow.
Axles, chassis, they'll maybe do drivetrain. But anyway, this guy took a nice Grand Wagoneer and restored the body, and then but chassis swapped it to the Roadster shop, which is coils.
Oh, wow.
Lynx coils GM drivetrain.
Like a LS or what is it?
Yeah,
LS.
Unbelievable build on a Grand Wagoneer and
disc brakes. The
coolest
all that
part,
stuff.
Yeah, the coolest part is there's pics of the whole chassis delivery and this huge crate. And I was just debating with others here on staff. I was like, how does that like show up at your house? Like they pull a tractor trailer pulls up with a forklift.
It would have to, right?
And like drags this. It's not like the size of a pallet. It's the size of like 25 pallets.
Totally.
And then they drag this thing in. So anyway, I am a fan. And
Wait, it doesn't come with powertrain in it, though. You got to put powertrain in
separately. Powertrain is separate. Okay. I don't know. Yeah, I think Roadster Shop doesn't do that.
Well, I mean,
It just sold today. It sold today on the site, which when this airs will be very soon. And I was watching it the whole way, and it went big. And the guy had receipts of how big he went to build it.
Yeah.
It didn't. I don't think it quite went that big, but it sold for 170 grand or something.
Wow.
Totally crazy.
Did he drive it a fair amount before he sold it?
I don't know. It looked pretty fresh to me, dude.
I love the idea of doing that kind of stuff. I mean, the thing I always have imagined is a hot rod with a chassis but with those 32s and stuff, you get the frame rails so they can come in a much smaller thing and then you have somebody weld them all together, right? So it comes a little more piecemeal.
Mm-hmm. But Roadster Shop has been building turnkey chassis like this for like 57s
right.
or for C2 vets or whatever. Mm-hmm. And the old stuff is such junk, right? You try to restore it all and it's still, some people want more performance than that. Some people want stock, but if you want more performance, you go this route. Anyway, here's the finished product, which is lifted and it's not quite stock.
It's not
I just got to show you the chassis pics. I wonder if we could get the Roadster Shop guys on the podcast. I would actually
be interested
in this.
Where are they located?
Chassis makers. There's a few chassis makers in the hot rod world that are like, they're the kind of the go-to.
Oh, and totally.
Roadster Shop's certainly on
my dad
list.
Used to hang out at, I don't know if any of the guys are alive still, but my dad used to hang out at SoCal Speed Shop where they were building all kinds of
interesting
stuff. Oh,
so
look at that.
That's what shows up in your garage, which is, for those listening at home, it's probably 10 feet by 25 feet.
Suspension
pallet.
Installed?
It's all built. It's like an RC car that shows up in full scale to your place and you got to put a drivetrain in it.
That's like a legitimately well-engineered. Look, it's a Z. The chassis is Z'd and everything.
Yeah. It's all scratch, right? It's not like they're like repurposing.
No. AMC that's
parts.
Made from
it's
scratch.
All scratch.
Square tubed.
It's kind of like what Icon does for the cruisers, but like you can order it.
Well, they buy
the
them
shelf.
From Art Morrison, which is like another famous
chassis
builder,
chassis
right?
Guy
If
you have a Morrison chassis, right? And he does that stuff. So
this is kind of a little more stocky looking though. A lot of the Morrisons, I think, are tube frame. This is like kind of
rails.
Yeah, dude.
I think it's cool. So anyway, when I was doing the FJ, I was like, man, do I just
go
crazy with that, but I think there's some waiting list or something. So we could maybe get them on the podcast.
That's a smaller chassis.
Talk to them.
Easier to get that one shipped, Randy.
Yeah. Where the heck am I going to put that? I just want that. That moment of that arriving is so like Christmas morning.
Could you imagine?
Like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, totally.
Somebody else did all that work, so I don't have to reseal all my axles and everything else.
Totally.
I mean, it'd be amazing. So.
You'd have to get a real transporter. You'd have to get a car transporter to bring that to you, you'd think.
I have no idea if this is out of my league, but it's pretty cool stuff. So anyway, that's fun stuff. And so I've been looking at that on the site. There's been a bunch of trucks and Wagoneers and stuff like that. But I think what we got to really touch on is Honda S600.
Oh my gosh. You know how much I love those cars. So a couple weeks ago, this white S600 Roadster, white over red, showed up and you and I were talking about it and talking about how, oh man, this has to be the nicest one around. 600 seems to be what everyone likes. That still has the independent chain drive rear end,
scary,
which is so interesting.
Terrifying.
I know, totally. I'm kind of a 800 guy. Like you're pretty limited on power, so I'll take the extra 200 CC. But the 600 is such a classic. I think that's what Leno has is a 600.
That's
Roadster.
Like the icon.
Yeah.
And the quirkiness of the chain drive is some people think it's cool. But if you read the comments in the previous one, did you see? I mean, the funny theme is like, it's shocking to find a nice one. It's shocking to find a nice one and a running one.
Totally.
Like, I guess most of them are just mothballed and the chains are a nightmare and people just park it. But these restored, beautiful ones are coming out of the woodwork. And they used to be very uncommon on BAT, like once every couple of years.
I know.
And now there's starting to be a little bit of a cadence because I think
momentum.
People that have them and have the good ones, and maybe they're willing to let them go. I'm kind of surprised, but with the money they're getting, this also used to be a 12.5.
I know. Well, that's the thing. They were relatively affordable, I would still really like one. But like everyone else, I'm terrified. I'm like, oh, I'm going to buy it. It's going to need parts. I don't know who's going to work on it. You know, it's hard enough with even more common cars than that. So, you know, to a certain extent, that drives the price on one that's sorted and ready to go.
Totally. So the 600s are very cool. I mean, the things I'm aware of on them that are different are that obviously the rear drivetrain, they went to live axle later,
right?
But the lighting is really different. And the S600, the early lights on the S600, like so many cars, yes, from back then, no side markers, little round lights, like as God intended,
sort of,
right? And then later it became like regulations and, yes, like wraparound lights and like weird stuff that doesn't look as elegant.
And so, with so many cars, it was the death knell. That was the end of that car.
Totally. It never went to big bumpers, yep, thankfully, but
thank
they
God.
Did get to bigger lighting and different sorts of things. So anyway, the coupes are cool. You and I talk about the coupes
a lot. I like the coupes. I don't know if I would fit in one. I have no idea.
I like shopping those on classified sites, but I don't think I'd ever get one. But a little roadster, if it was parked downstairs, like I would be excited to hop in that and rip around.
Oh my God. I love the idea of, the same reason I like the two-stroke Saabs. I like the idea of a car making tons of noise and you're revving it to 8,000 RPM and it's going nowhere. I don't know if that would wear off the novelty of that, but I love the idea of it. Some of the roadsters, there is that hardtop. We've talked about that yellow car that was on the site a couple of years ago that I think about all the time. Yellow S600, beautifully restored local here in the Bay Area with a heart removable hardtop, mm-hmm, on the roadster. Kind of weird looking.
There's a famous race car and cars in racing museums in Japan that I've seen photos of. I've never seen them in person, but that race with a hard top.
Roadster with a hard top.
Yes, yeah. Which I think is very, very cool. There's an RC car that was made of that, and it's that with the hard top. So I've always had that picture in my mind a little bit from the olden days. But anyway, part of the reason I bring that up, that car was very special and was restored apparently by like the experts and the right people. And then one popped up right after it's gone, and that one sold for, what did we say it sold for?
80, I think.
80K, 70K, 80K.
80 on the nose.
Oh, my gosh. And then that one goes, and people are like, okay, we'll see you in 2 years when we get another good one. Another one just pops up like 3 days later. It's live right now. I'm looking at it, 7 days to go. It's at 40-something grand. But, man, these things used to be so cheap.
I mean, dude, you mentioned how rarely they pop up. We've only had 26 total. That includes the two that the one that just sold and the one that just popped up. And that's since 2016. So 8 years, we've only had 26. So yeah, they don't come up very often.
Yeah. Anyway, special cars. And I love that BAT is the place for these cars, like the perfect place to sell one of these, I think. Cause I mean, man, the last guy that sold it, sorry, I'm going.
No, it's okay.
I was in the comments on that one and the whole thing. The guys were like, hey, I have one. Where do I get parts? And the owner/restorer of the last one said, oh, there's this like firm in Germany you got to go to, which is not where you'd think you'd go. But anyway, this firm in Germany has parts. And if you're on the, you know, social media group, I don't know if it was a Facebook group or wherever, where these guys link up, or a website or a club or whatever. Anyway, kind of an old school method, right? Like you remember back in the day, you had to like join the club and like find the people that
could help
you. Now with so much out on the internet and people selling parts online and whatever else, sometimes you don't need those steps. But I think for this kind of car and the rarity of that car and the special drivetrain and all that sort of stuff, it's not just like exchangeable parts with other stuff.
No.
This is very, the guy was like, where do I get the gaskets for the chain drive? Right. Which is like
nightmare. Totally. That's nightmare fuel. Totally.
And I was like, oh man. But the guy was like, oh, it's totally easy. They have them in Germany.
That's great.
And these guys have them on the shelf and whatever. And I was like, so for the four people that want those in the next calendar
year. I'm literally getting anxiety hearing you talk about this.
So there used to be videos online about like people going through and restoring those chain drives. Anyway.
Well, it's like two halves. You seal them together and the chains ends. Oh my God.
All of it.
I mean, it's why I'm terrified of them, but they're so sick. I mean, the guy who restored my Cord, my 1930s car recently, he's like, I don't think I can keep doing this because there's one place I can get parts and that guy's 89 years old. And what are you going to do when that dries up? I mean, you've got to be in the network. You've got to have the connections.
Yep. So anyway, fun to see these cars on the site. They happen to both be white, red interior this week. They made those cars. We've sold a lot of red ones, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of red and a lot of white.
I think
white.
We maybe even had a black one once, which would be very unusual.
And we've had black. There's that primrose yellow.
Totally.
Those are like the main colors. And
totally.
I think silver. We've had silver. Those might be the only five colors.
Silver,
there was a silver 800 coupe a couple of years ago that was owned by somebody who'd worked as a mechanic for Penske for like 30 years. And he had bought it in the 70s. And I was like, oh, that's the one to get.
Mm.
But it had... was questionable on how well it ran, which is often the case with these, right? It's like sellers are a little hesitant to ask, to answer specific questions.
Guys, we're also debating. I don't know what the name of the carbs are. You may know, but the guy
aren't
was
they
like,
McCoonies? Or are they
no,
not?
No, oh, no, okay. There's some other weirdness. And the guy was saying, oh, there's so many of those and they need work or whatever and blah, 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 blah. And one of the guys said that Honda owned them.
Oh, like, that's interesting.
At the time, it was like a subsidiary or something. Anyway, all of this is hearsay, but is fascinating. And I'm just looking at this one on my screen right now, wishing I was the guy.
They're like a little, I was actually, you know, it's interesting. I had a face-to-face encounter with one of these cars 2 weeks ago. I was having my daily driver Honda Civic serviced in San Luis Obispo, and sitting on the showroom floor at Sunset Honda in SLO was a S600.
Oh, you said that.
And
that's
asked them, I was like, is this for sale? They're like, no, this is the owner of the dealerships. And I'm like, well, does it drive? They're like, no, it just sits here and
what
you look
color?
At it. It was a kind of a brown color. So it must've been painted aftermarket. It was like a copper brown.
600 or 800?
600 Roadster.
Cool.
No, I think it was an 800. But I think it still had chain drive. I always get on my hands and knees when it's an 800 and look underneath. I can't remember now exactly.
Huh, that's fine.
As soon as they said it wasn't for sale, they also had a bunch of brand new Civic Type R's with gigantic markup
you
stickers on them.
Yeah, yeah.
Frustrating. I sat in one. I'm not going to pay $20,000 more than sticker for one of those. One other thing I want to talk about before we move on, Randy, are the Fairlane. Are you a Fairlane guy at all? I love Fairlanes.
So I am a Fairlane guy. I'm a Mustang guy. As you know, I drove those in high school. And so I love a lot of stuff from that era. Falcons are a particular soft spot. But obviously Thunderbolt 64 Fairlane is interesting. The Holman Moody cars. There were some interesting sort of 63, 64-ish road race cars that were floating around. And somebody had a genius idea of a business model to make those a few years back. And that obviously never panned.
We've auctioned one or two of those, though.
Auctioned some interesting stuff around that. But then my dad always liked the 66 stack headlight Fairlane. And you get a GTA with a 390 in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then even the ones with 289s or 302s or not 289s, I think. A green one of those, a GTA with a 4-speed in it. And those
anything
sort of
with the pretty swooping roof line is good
those
for me.
Those are so cool.
I know.
I wasn't a big convertible guy. I was more into two doors. But then if you really want to step up to the plate, these crazy ones we've had on BAT lately, I've been kind of educating myself on some of those.
Same.
But what's up with those?
So the R code 66, I want to say, I'm pretty sure that's right. Yeah. 66 R code, white, side oiler V8 top loader, 4-speed, you know, super rare, side oiler 427,
right?
4-speed top loader. Pretty rare car, amazing, very pretty, very kind of simple looking, $270,000.
And it sold.
Yeah, it sure did.
It was not a fishing expedition. It was like legit R code, I guess, documented white with white steel wheels and dog dish caps. And it gets the real hood scoop on it.
Correct.
And it looks like just a low spec drag car.
But
right?
Dual quads on a 427.
Yeah.
I mean
R code is... I think what they also call the Galaxies from a little bit earlier that had the big 427s with dual quads, right? And this thing was just a beast.
A beast. And then followed shortly thereafter, maybe live at the same time. Didn't meet reserve, but a W code, which I also had to educate myself on, which is also a 427, but a single four barrel. And that car was green, which I liked, and bid to a very respectable number. But
I think green's my favorite.
I know, me too. I was thinking the exact same
thing. It may
be
Highland green.
And that car was did you see the period pictures? That car was a period drag racer. They restored it back to kind of a street spec, but it was bought to go drag racing. And there's some historical pics of it with, stickers and numbers on it and stuff from the 60s.
I'm clicking on it right now.
These are all your dad's stacked headlights.
Stacked headlights. Yeah. So, well, it's so interesting, right? Because there's like sweet spots for these different models. And like Falcon by 66, 67 was dumpy,
mm-hmm.
right? And the earlier Falcons, I think. Anyway, these are all my favorites and lesser favorites. But the early sort of Thunderbolt-y Fairlane, I was kind of into it, but I was more into this stacked headlight. And then Mustangs, obviously, everybody has their sort of favorite era, whether it's, you know, the first gen or the later ones. But all the Fords kind of had their like peaks and valleys of when they had it right.
I know.
But I actually like the 7-liter Galaxies
I like those a lot too.
Galaxies that were like sort of NASCAR style.
And those are the ones they ran in touring car, right?
Well, then there's the those are earlier
galaxies.
Those
are like 63?
Yeah, guys running in the UK and stuff. But so anyway, there's all these different years and eras and different stuff, but some of them really hit it on the design. And these are just a square forward. Now you look at the ones we got, man, they keep coming, dude. There's a 390 GTA on the site right now and a convertible. Those are not that expensive of cars.
I know.
You know, they're not, I don't even know if they are the same as, you know, comparable Mustang. So S-code 4-speed 66 500 GT, Fairlane 500 GT. I mean, that's a cool car.
I know.
You know?
And I know.
I don't.
They've got the square body with the curved, like these are later 60s, but they remind me, to your point, of the Falcon Sprint when it's got that same kind of squared body, but with the pretty roof line. Like that's the right, for the Ford, you know, design language of the 60s, that's the right combo to me. Mm-hmm. But it is interesting because they're a couple years apart. Anyway, just loved these cars. There's also I know I didn't prep you for this one, but did you see the Pontiac Catalina with the tri-power Catalina 4-speed?
I did not.
Oh my God. That's actually like our staffers are getting kind of,
like a 421 in it, or what's it got?
No, I think it's a 389 with a 6-pack and a 4-speed. 61. Look,
three deuces. Okay.
Man, this car is good. Our staff is getting very excited about this one. It's actually a premium listing. Fantastic.
Check it out. Right.
Great
now.
Blue interior, great exterior color, super cool spec. This is kind of almost pre-muscle car, but another amazing car from the era with great styling.
That's super cool. And I love that those are in premium, you know? I mean, a good mix of what's going on there. There's a lot of ways to skin a cat, and that one.
Those have those great Pontiac 8-lug wheels, you know, those wide eights.
So this is almost like a Super Duty looking car.
Totally.
It's not one, but it's a 389 4-speed 8-lug. They call that a bubble top. I mean, the Chevys with the bubble top.
It has that same look as like the Impala.
Especially the angle of this lead photo. It's kind of like low over the front corner. The windshield looks like a mile tall.
But the front looks like a Tempest kind of, which is interesting.
There are definite Tempest Tempest DNA vibes, share. Yeah. And it's, I mean, 61 was early for this sort of muscle. And so to see that car.
It's actually a little bit kind of akin. You have kind of a proto muscle car too with your Chrysler 56 with a huge Hemi in it. And we also had, I think you and I already talked about this, maybe not. There was a 300G, which I'm very hungry for a 300G. That's 61 only. That's not a Hemi anymore, but my favorite letter series car. We had a 300G convertible, which is pretty rare. Black, do really well on the site recently. I was excited to see that. You don't see those pop up very often. We've had quite a few good letter cars in various states of needing repairs on the site recently. I'm sure you've been following all those.
I like 55 and 56. I pay light attention to anything after 56. I know those are your favorites, but mine, the first 2 years of those are my favorites. So I've got the alerts set for those. We sold a project for $4,600.
I saw that.
Or something like that. Somebody was saying the rebuildable Hemi in it is almost worth that.
Totally.
Maybe worth more than that, but then you got to figure out what you're going to do with this big hulk of an old Project 300.
Even the 61, even the G is not that different than your car. I mean, still a big honking
handling
car.
And braking wise, it's the exact same.
Still drum brakes. Totally. Yeah. Torsion bar suspension. Yours is torsion bar too.
No, coils.
Yours is pre-torsion bar. Okay. Yeah.
Somebody in the comments again on that 56 car were like, I have a later one after they solved the suspension.
Solved. Oh, and man, that was like, a cut right to the heart.
I didn't know my suspension needed solving.
It sure does, Randy. Educate yourself. How many events did you do? Because my dad and I were up having Manhattans a couple of weeks ago, and we were contemplating. I'm so jealous of you and your dad doing all these great events. And we were thinking, my dad's 85 years old. What would be comfortable? And I was like, you know, a 300G coupe would be great for these big events. How many times did you take that letter car on an event? And what are the kind of pros and cons?
So I bought it specifically to go on the Copper State. Mm-hmm. The Copper State was bearing down on the calendar, and it was going to the Grand Canyon. And my dad and I were like, what's the best car like we can think of to take to the Grand Canyon? And we had done the Copper State in a 4-cylinder, which was a gigantic mistake, right? Because it's like wide open Arizona
screaming,
roads.
Screaming.
Totally. I'm not taking the Cortina on a wide open road rally like that. And they're fun, but man, these roads were just wide open.
And straight.
So
yes.
Yeah, all we said the whole time, we're like, man, this is a great event. I'm sure it would be better with a V8.
Yeah.
You know, like you say that for 3 days.
Yeah.
So anyway, we decided, I had always wanted a B, and this was well pre-COVID. It must have been 2018, 2017, something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Anyway, like no joke, like in the 2 months leading up, I like said, here's the five of them for sale in America. You know, here's the colors. Here's what I would love for condition, whatever. And my dad and I are like, this one's in SoCal. We went and got a red regimental red 56 300B. And so we ended up doing the Copper State, which was in Arizona, which was a ton of fun. Taking that car, I've got a picture of my dad and I in front of the Grand Canyon.
I remember all of it. I remember living vicariously through you guys.
It's such a dream.
I think there was also a very early BAT alumni gathering associated with that.
I think we did have a tent up and some BAT presence and maybe even sponsorship of the event. We love that event and support them as much as we can. But
that SoCal Speed Shop 32 Roadster was there. I still remember that because that's one of the cars, my favorite cars we ever listed. That two-tone car, the black cream one.
Yeah, that was a good one. And then we shipped that car out to Montana, to Bozeman, Montana, and ran the Going to the Sun rally through Glacier National Park and Western Montana. And again, you know, wide open roads and, you know, in the middle of nowhere and a bunch of cool cars and a bunch of cool people. Those are two of the fancier rallies I've ever been on in my life, you know, but, you know, it was taking dad and we're just going to do the Chrysler and was kind of like time to see if we could do one of those. Snuck in as a sponsor, I think, in the Arizona one, but I think may have paid retail to go to the Montana one just because, you know, bite the bullet and do it.
But it's a once in a lifetime. That's what I'd like to do with my debt.
I mean, I've got a picture of the Chrysler in front of like this overlook at the top of the Going to the Sun Road, which is the road through Glacier National Park, with me standing in front of a 56 Chrysler with the mountains in the back. I mean, it's like, it's unrepeatable.
Totally.
You know, it's unbelievable. And I will never forget that. And doing it with a V8 and an old car. We weren't the fastest out there, but we nursed it through the corners and drum brakes down the grade out of the park. Pictures with buffalo and all the stuff. It was really
cool. Oh, man. Well, that's what I want to try to recreate someday.
In the Cord.
Oh, God. The Cord's not up for it, man. Although, when I went on the Copper State with Zach, also on sponsorship, which you kindly let us do in your Falcon, that was only a year or two ago. There was a guy in an A10 Cord. He did the whole thing, made it the whole 1,000 miles. His door, you know, the front doors are suicide. The front door blew open and destroyed his paint.
Oh, gosh.
Luckily, my car is a pile of crap, so that wouldn't matter at all.
Bungee cord.
Total bungee cord situation. I asked my dad about that. Is that a regular thing? He goes, it's one of their weaknesses. I'm like, yeah, okay, one of.
Put on your seatbelt. Totally. Put on your seatbelt.
No,
dad.
No seatbelts in that car.
Oh, gosh. Might need them.
I would be remiss if we closed without talking about the newest kind of big release, big news on BAT. Is our new verified checkout service. This is something you've been talking about and that you've wanted for years and you've really championed and quarterbacked, and it's been a big effort and we've got it out there now. It's just kind of rolling out. I thought maybe we could talk about it in terms of, you know, what was the problem that we were trying to solve? And, you know, for so many years, people have been asking us like, hey, you know, BAT is great. You introduce me as buyer or seller to the other party, but then we're kind of on our own. And, you know, can you help us? Can you be an escrow service? Can you, you know, we gave people best tips and we support them and we do all that, but, you know, people wanted more and here we are.
Yes, this has been a big need for a really long time. So BAT Verified Checkout is available on a good number of listings that we're rolling it out on. And first off, with private party sellers, because one of the things people voice to me and just in the car community all the time is if you're buying a car, particularly how people are buying them long distance these days, like wiring 50 grand to somebody in, you know, Atlanta, you know, thousands of miles away that you've never met before other than via this website, which you hope it's all good, is sort of an empty feeling. Wiring money is weird anyway. And then trying to get, like, making sure the title's legit before you send it. Like, should I have it? Like, we give people a bunch of tips, but there's still, every state's different. And what do I do? And is this, we'll get a lot of emails still to our customer service, which are like, okay, is this okay? Am I okay to do this? And they just want someone to help and hold their hand.
They want to feel comfortable.
And
right?
Honestly, I've bought a number of cars, you know, some good, some bad in terms of the car, but the paperwork, it's always different. Even in your own state, it's always a little different. It's like, oh, well, I have the old version of the title and you have the new version of the title. And
the person's like, this is fine.
Yeah. And then, the seller who's salivating for the money is like, oh, it'll be great. Yeah. And you're like, I don't believe you at all. Right. So, I mean, whether they're a total stranger or whether they're a relative, you're like, that's I don't think I should get in this situation. So there's a lot of anxiety around that and tricks around that. So what verified checkout means is, we have a system that's fully integrated with BAT. And at the end of your listing, you can pick, okay, I'm going to do it the old fashioned way, you know, send in FedExes of titles and paper signatures.
Do it on my own, basically.
But the new way, what we're offering included in the service, there's not another fee or anything for it, is it's all digital. DocuSign, it's 50 state combination. So if you're selling from Arkansas to Washington, or you're selling from Idaho to California or whatever, all of the research and title verification, no joke, front and back title verification and identity verification of the parties and all the different stuff is all done for you behind the scenes. And you can do it on your phone and it gives you a checklist of signatures you need in the right places. All that anxiety and frankly, variability mm-hmm. is kind of taken out of it. And things are cross-referenced with databases to make sure like the person's name is legit, that's yep. on the title and their address matches their name and all that, which is really missing out there. There's some services, you can go to some websites and they'll help you with this. Or if you go to a good dealer, like they have more expertise than most individuals do, but there's so many individual private party sales on BAT.
Yeah, and, right? and they're not necessarily Hundreds. Always used to doing trans, you know, state to state. You
it's
know what
always
I mean?
Different, yeah, right? I mean, even a pro, like you'll, I mean, you've bought a bunch of weird cars or like the guys downstairs have bought weird cars and you're kind of like your friends ask you for advice. Yep. Like you know more, but still, if
I mean, dude, you're faking it till you make it a lot.
Totally. And so are buyers and so are sellers. Yeah. And if I'm buying a car from Maine this week, I'm like, I don't know, dude. Like it looks like it's legit, right?
Yep.
So all of that, the verification of that is something I've always dreamed that frankly we could own in-house and do in-house and integrate. And we've partnered with a cool company to do that and integrated it really deeply. So it's just no joke, like a matter of clicks. And our staff on our side does the verification of yep. different things. And so do they. A good combination of both our skill sets. And then, yeah, you can check out and get all the way to payment. You can yep. opt into finance while
right. This is the
payment.
Other thing that I think is exciting, right?
We've never offered finance because we've always had sort of sharky offers right. from weird places that are right. like, I can finance a 62 right. Vet. And then you're like, can you do a 2019 Porsche? And totally. They're like, no.
Right.
And you're like, well, that doesn't work because right. BAT is very broad. So this system has like a multitude of lenders that are like name brand, like big banks, and they have their specialty so they can cover a wide swath of BAT inventory. And a lot of people, I don't finance a lot of cars, but a lot of people do. I mean,
totally.
That's like the norm out yep. there. And so we have not offered that for
and potential for warranties plus. Too, which is fascinating.
Well, service contracts, I think, yeah. are the legal, right, the right, legal yeah, names, yeah, sure. right? A warranty gets into different areas of law and new car dealers. But yeah, service contracts on a car where you can get a period of coverage after you buy an old car with like a rebuild
Crazy.
Engine is actually totally insane, right? Yep. I've never done that. And some people wouldn't mind at all paying a little bit for that
totally.
Peace of mind. You know me, I tend to be a cowboy. And
oh,
it
wow.
shows up and then I rebuild
That's
the engine.
That's why all of our cars are dead downstairs.
Yeah, yeah totally. But there are some people that are smarter than we are that kind of, you know, back of the envelope calculate like, okay, what would that be worth for the first
yep.
year to know nothing's going to go wrong? Mm-hmm. And would that take me further? And for some people it does. So that's pretty cool. And then there's an insurance option. And obviously the payment is all secure and verified. So anyway, super cool. BAT verified checkout, we decided to call it. And there's a box above the bid box that tells you when it's yep. eligible. It's not on every car yet.
Yep. And like, yeah, this is brand new. Maybe I jumped the gun on it. This
no,
is just rolling out this week.
It's great. You know, we have it probably live on, you know, it'll be live on 50 to 100 listings come early next week. And that's going to ramp up like about half the cars on BAT yep. are private party. So we're going to cover private party first. And then some dealers offer these services. So we're going to kind of ease into the dealer listings piecemeal. If the dealer, there's some dealers that already reached out and are hungry. They're like, hey, I'd
yes.
love to have this.
That's you know? To me, the most encouraging thing is how many people are like, great, like yeah. been waiting for this, right? And you were in the comments engaging with people when we rolled this out. People yeah. seemed almost universally thrilled.
Yeah. The biggest problem is that people want it on every listing like right
yes.
now. They're like, hey,
right.
I bought a Toyota 2 days ago. Can I have it? And
right.
we're like, well, it wasn't set up then and we're just getting it out.
Totally.
So once we get through the next couple of weeks, I think it'll be very mainstream. And people are going to come to expect, it's like pro grade presentation and
right.
photos on BAT, which in the olden days, people are like, you don't need that.
Totally. Takes away from the authenticity.
Just do it yourself. Yeah, totally. You know what I mean? And now you look yeah. like at a do-it-yourselfer with like a 4 generations old iPhone, like taking yeah. pictures of their car with no underbody shots. And right now people are like, that's unacceptable.
It's unacceptable.
You cannot do that.
Even videos. Right. Remember, man, it was so novel to have. That
totally.
Was only like 7 or 8 years ago.
Totally.
It was like, what do you need videos for? Now it's like almost de rigueur. You got to have it.
Totally. And I think that's the direction that secure and verified transaction is going. It's a convenience and it's a peace of mind thing, but eventually it'll be like, if you don't have it, people will be like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
You know? So there's a lot of, you know, Facebook Marketplace and other like crazy transactions that are going on that people are doing stuff. And we just wanted BAT to be buttoned up with this. And so, yeah, rolled out at no cost to the user, but I think it's going to give people peace of mind to bid and trust what's happening and just have a better experience of
Hashtag peace of mind, man. I mean, I'm excited about it. Glad we got to talk about it a little bit and excited to
see. We'll talk more about it. It's going to evolve and, totally. And we'll improve it and we're getting good feedback. So we'll see where it goes. But it's an exciting one. We've been working on it for a year and a half.
I know.
More. And at the when we committed to it then, I was like, are we really going to go down this road? Are we really going to do this? It's a lot of work. And now that we're here, we're like, I'm so glad we actually did it, right? So it was worth the work and it's a good product. So yeah, it's in the dropdown on the top of BAT or you can Google verified checkout on BAT and it'll take you straight there.
Fantastic. We'll keep talking about it as it evolves. Anything else? Any topics we missed, Randy?
Just making me want to surf around and check out what else is on.
I'm going to go dive into S600.
The website. Yeah. Get an exploded view of the chain drive and then you'll sleep well tonight.
Oh God.
Knowing you don't have to fix one by
That's
tomorrow.
Correct. That's correct. Let me get back in my Honda Civic.
That's about all I got.
Cool, man. Well, thanks for doing this. As always, thank you for listening, folks. And feedback, advice, thoughts, podcast@bringatrailer.com. We will see you next time.